First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I will start reading from 13, First Peter chapter 1. It says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth every man according to his works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear or reverence." He now went on to 18. "For as much as you know," that's where the key is, "you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers, but you are redeemed, set free by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that by the power of your Spirit, you will cause your life to be revealed in this place today. As we magnify you, that your glory will saturate the entire atmosphere, and you restore every single person even to the place of glory you designed for them before the foundations of the earth. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that we have been redeemed not with perishable things as silver or gold from our vain conversations, but we have been redeemed by something, by the precious blood of the Lamb. To redeem means to buy, to purchase, and the blood was what? Purchased our freedom even into this life. Now, the Bible says in Romans, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's one thing that resulted in man losing the glory, which was sin. So now Jesus, God says that what I've done, I've sent my son and he has shed his blood to wipe away sin and to restore man back to glory. So the essence of the blood, anywhere the blood is magnified, the glory of God manifests. Anywhere the blood is magnified, the Spirit of God enters into that space and causes manifestations to happen. The blood is, I like the way MacArthur says, it's like liquid love that flows from the heart of the Father into humanity to cause a cleansing and a restoration. The blood of Jesus is what we'll be talking about today. We're going to examine it and we'll see how the invisible things are clearly seen by the things which are made. And you will come to appreciate the power of this blood. And you will see how the blood can be applied in our daily work. But I believe that is one of the strongest tools that God has given us. He says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So we have to teach people how to apply practically in their daily life the power of the blood of Jesus, because that's all we have. There's no other power, there's no other source, there's no other thing. The reason why we have mercy is because of the blood. The blood is the reason for mercy. So let's go to the scriptures and examine the scriptures carefully and see it even by evidence how the blood operates and how the blood works in our daily life. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Because I think that it is the practice and the application of these things. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we know that sin is not necessarily you have got to do anything evil or like that. Sin is sort of where you miss the mark. When there's an instruction, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So sin is not that the man went to steal necessarily, no. Sin is when you violate the instructions of God. Since all have sinned, and once that happens, there is a falling short of the glory of God. Meaning that there is something that happens in the soul of a man when he does that. You know, and that is why we'll come to appreciate the blood of Jesus and what that blood has done for us. You know, we sort of take it for granted sometimes. That blood is so precious. It's so precious. More precious than anything you can imagine. So let us go to, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It now says, being justified or made righteous by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. He says he has set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So what does, I mean, faith is only developed where the will of God is known. So when people, I think people get stuck with, do I have enough faith or don't I have enough faith? Faith comes by knowledge. When you have revelation knowledge and you're more informed about something, when you have more knowledge and you have the exact knowledge about something, then faith comes. So people should stop getting bogged down with, do I have enough faith? Don't I have enough faith? No. All you have to do is get knowledge. It says grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. And that is revelation knowledge. So don't get bogged down. What you have to do is get knowledge. Be well informed about that particular thing. It is when you're well informed, then faith will be generated automatically. That's what I'm trying to say. So don't be bogged down. Don't have enough faith. No. Begin to get knowledge. Begin to increase in the knowledge of the scriptures. That means get the knowledge about that. If it's healing, if it's finances, get the knowledge from the word of God and get persuaded about that knowledge. That's what it means. So it comes by hearing. What do you hear? Knowledge. You begin to hear and hear, then it becomes a turning point where you become fully persuaded. Okay, this is actually true. F.F. Butler said it is a logical thing. It's not in the air. So you get it that you're now convinced beyond reasonable doubt. So the knowledge you have now supersedes the evidence of your senses. It's not that the evidence of the senses are not there, but you have received another knowledge. You have received something else that in your consciousness far exceeds what the evidence is on the ground. So you're more convinced. You're convinced beyond reasonable doubt. Beyond reasonable doubt. That means you're convinced beyond the doubt that your reason brings. That this thing is true. And it comes by knowledge. So there's no way you can develop faith without knowing what the will or the knowledge of is regarding those things. You can't. You can't have faith. You can't develop faith without spending time in the scriptures and in the word. It's not possible. Because that is the source of faith. You understand? It's not trying to make yourself believe or walk out in presumption, saying I'm stepping out to prove that I have faith. No, it doesn't work like that. Faith will trigger the actions. Faith will move you to take action. That's what I'm saying. Faith will move you to take action and to speak words. So when you come to a point where the words begin to come subconsciously from your lips, even when you're discussing normally, you say, they talk about that thing and just comes out of your lips. Faith is working out in you. So let's understand that. It is not presumption. We're not trying to prove any point. We're not trying to say we can jump from the top of the mountain so they will see that we have faith. No. Faith will generate actions and faith will generate words. Let's understand that. So faith is a deliberate, a definite thing, and it comes by the knowledge of God. So everybody has access to it if we open ourselves to receive knowledge at a rate that we become convinced about it. So let's understand that. So let us spend time this year as we enter in with our focused target as God shows us and get the relevant knowledge so that our faith will grow to that point. Let's understand that. So the blood of Jesus, he says faith in the blood. Faith in the blood will only come by knowledge about the blood. Faith in the blood can only be generated when people are taught about what the blood has done and what the blood has wrought for humanity as a whole. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse, we've seen that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 to 21. And you know, you hold your place. In the Old Testament, when the priest came, they brought the lambs without blemish. So it was the character and the quality of the sacrifice that made the difference. And it's interesting that people talk about these days of not confessing your sins and all that. And almost permitting lasciviousness. I now ask, I said, if the new covenant, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, because they did not continue my covenant and I did not regard them. He said, finding fault with them. So I changed the system because I found fault with the people. So it means that the new system is supposed to correct the faults in the people. So if you say that the new system has no power, in other words, to correct the faults of the people, then it has made no difference. The new system was not put there just to cover the sins. No, the new system, there's mercy there, but the system, the essence of the system was to correct the faults in the people. And the only thing that can go to that depth is the blood of Jesus and the word of God, the Son of the Spirit. Let us understand that. So the new system of God is not permitting lasciviousness. In fact, the demands of the new system is higher than the old. Before it was said, if you go after a woman to and you commit a fornication, call that fornication, but it says now, if you look to lust after her, Jesus wanted to show you that look, this system is foolproof. This system can go to the depth of a man's soul and make corrections. It says now the order has changed. The demands are higher, but the provision has been made. So let's understand that. Let's not be carried away because there's strange and diverse doctrines going on. Strange and diverse doctrines going on, believing that lasciviousness, that we can go ahead and live our lives anyhow, that the grace, the mercy of God covers us. The mercy of God is there, but the grace of God teaches us to shun iniquity. That means it's a power of God that helps people to live above those things. That's what it's about. It's not just to cover, no. It's to live above those things. The blood gives you access to receive the grace to live above those things. That's it. Even though the covenant is faulty. Even though it is faulty. He says, finding fault with them, I decided to change it. God doesn't mean words. He said, because I find fault with the old system, it didn't have the power to change the people in their consciousness. So I decided to bring a new order so that I can change them from the inside out. Let's understand that. So let's not be carried away with diverse kinds of doctrine and strange things that are happening in the atmosphere, orchestrated from the pit of hell. Because, see, the foundation of this thing is truth. Truth perverted, even by 1 degree, will lead in error. As in, by 1 degree, it doesn't have to be outright error. Just pervert it slightly, because the foundation of this is truth. So if truth is missed, that's why you must check it and go back and keep on checking it to make sure. That's just examine yourself whether you still be in the faith, because it's easy. One truth, you just pervert it little and you can end somewhere else. One truth. That's why Satan came to Jesus. He came to him, he says, has God, he didn't say God, he said, has God not said? He said you shouldn't touch it. God did not say you shouldn't touch it. So he perverted it. He came to Jesus with scriptures and perverted it. He says, jump down, he will give his angels charge over you. So let's understand that. That's why we have the Spirit of God to sieve out this truth. We must be in the Word. We must be in the Word because you can easily imbibe it. You can easily imbibe it. And it begins to affect your consciousness. Let's understand that. So you go back every day, like a Berean Christian. Even when I speak here, it's your duty to go back and check if those things that I've said are really in the scriptures and if they are so. Let's understand that. Very important. Very important. So, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. We have been covered. We've been covered. We'll see it clearly today from the scriptures. Hebrews 13:20. Say, now may the God of peace. Let me read from King James better. He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. How did he bring them? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. So it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he will make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I like the Amplified. It says, may the God of peace, who is the author and giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood, the sealed, ratified, everlasting agreement, strengthen, complete, and make you perfect. So he will make you strengthened, complete, and perfect by the blood, and make you what you ought to be. That's the power of the blood. Equip you with every good thing that you may carry out his will. So that's what the blood will do. He will make you perfect and equip you with every good thing that you may carry out his will. He will make you perfect and equip you with everything that you may carry out his will. So that is his purpose, is that you may carry out his will. It says it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So let's understand that. So it is, the whole essence of it is to carry out his will. When we're praying in the prayer meeting, someone told me about the prayer meeting. He was asking God, God, show me what your will is, what your agenda is for me. God said, no, that's not the prayer. The prayer is, show me what your agenda is that I may fit into it. To take yourself out of the equation, show me what is uppermost on your mind in this season, in the United Kingdom, in my location, that I might fit into it. That's the prayer. So that is where God is taking us into this season of our lives. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. We're going to cover a few things today. Show you something. Amplified translation, if you can. It says, wherefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestion, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you will show in my presence, but much more because I am absent. It says, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence, awe, and trembling. Listen to that. It says, self-distrust, serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit his name. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively working in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But he says, God is creating the desire in you and the power, but you have to work out your salvation. He works in our hearts and attitudes, but we still have to work out the salvation on the outside. And whose responsibility is it to work it out? It is our responsibility to work out the salvation with fear and trembling. It says, purge your heart. If you go to James later on, you sinners, purify your heart, you double-minded. So it is our responsibility. We have the tools of the blood. We have the tools of the Word. We have the tools of the Holy Spirit. And we show practically how to apply these things to work out that salvation from the inside to the outside. So it's our responsibility to work that out. Let's go to first. I'm just going to build on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. We'll open a few scriptures today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 and 21. Just building up. He said, but the firm foundation laid by God, I'm reading from the Bible today so much, stand sure, unshakable, bearing this seal, this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. How does he know? He says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it. Now he went on, he said, but in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some of honorable and noble use, and some of menial and ignoble use. So whosoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, separates himself from contaminating and corrupting influences, which includes people, separating himself from contaminating and correcting influences, which includes social media and television, separating himself from corrupting and contaminating influences. He says, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good morals. God cannot be mocked. I say, evil communication corrupts good morals. Don't think you're strong. He says, in those days, he says, when the priest comes in contact with anything unclean, he gets defiled. Let me tell you something. Evil communication corrupts good. You'll be wondering where some things came from. It is the communication. You have to cut off everything that contradicts what God is doing in your life. And you have to be severe about it sometimes. If Jonah comes into the ship, until Jonah is thrown aboard, the ship will be turbulent. Listen to me. Your relationship is your next most important decision after your knowledge of God's word. The Galatian church went into error. It says, I gave you the revelation and there was tangible manifestation of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your midst by the word of God. And now some people came in privily to deceive you. You say, who has derailed you from obeying the truth? You ran well, but something came into your midst to derail you. Your relationships are so important. You have to cut off with severity because Satan enters into those midst. It's diffusion. It's diffusion. It will diffuse into you. David said, depart from you, evildoers, that I might keep the commandment of God. So the presence of evildoers prevented him from carrying out the will of God. It's very serious. There's no time for hanging around. Any company that is not productive, any company that is hampering or hindering the fulfillment of God's will in your life, you have to cut it off. Very important. Very important. And TV programs. It's entering into you. Adultery is going on the television. You're imbibing the spirit. It's subconscious. You're watching it. You're laughing. It went to them. It's entering. It's subconscious. It's getting inside. They know what they have planned it. The enemy, they have planned it. Let us infiltrate this thing. You can see what they're introducing into the place now. To enter into the subconscious of people that it is right. It is subconscious. And that's the most dangerous one. They're laughing at the subconscious. It's entering. And protect the children as well. So it says, whosoever will purge himself from these things will be a vessel, honorable, noble, consecrated, and profitable to the master's use. So whosoever will purge himself will be a vessel unto honor, fit and ready for the good work that God has created you to fulfill. The vessel needs to be ready for the manifestation of the things that God has planned for you. We've been created unto good works, but we have a responsibility to cleanse and present ourselves ready to carry out the thing that God has given us. There's a giant there. There are things inside, there are motions inside which we have to deal with. There are giants there which if you do not surmount, that giant will rise up in the future when you are about to stand up in a place of prominence and bring you down. You have to surmount those giants. See, if you do not surmount that giant today, that little thing that is lingering there, that habit, that character flaw, you have to rise up and surmount it because it's there, it's lingering. When you get to that place, you say, okay, now it's time. You have to surmount it. You talk to it every day. I like what McCankin said. He said, those attitudes, those little things that we don't think are insignificant, he said, God will keep your voice at low volume until you surmount those attitudes that are hindering him from manifesting. Things like anger, things like resentment. He will put your volume in the earth. That means your purpose will not come out to its fullest until you surmount those things. It's a good lesson, important. And the key is when you begin to want things for the reason God wants them. You're unstoppable. When you begin to want things for the same reason God wants them, and what will accomplish these things, you'll see it, is the blood. See, it's the blood that will go into that place, this blood, and purify those attitudes, and give you, we'll talk about some things today, and give you time to feed on your living bread to correct that thing. We'll see it. So let's begin to understand that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said something. I love that scripture. So I'm just going to show that these things are our responsibilities, but we have the tools to do them. So God will work in us. He has given us the tools, but we have to work out those things. 1 Corinthians 9, we'll read again from the Amplified. I'm going to read lots of scriptures today, sorry. It's the scripture. It's 9:24-27. Let's start on 24. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run, I like it, your race. Only you and God knows your race. Run," God might say this person should wake up at 8 a.m. every day and pray. God gave you an instruction to wake up at 6 a.m. But you now saw this one waking at 8 a.m. before you felt that he was more spiritual than you. You decided to wake up at 8 a.m. disobeying the Lord who told you to wake up at 6 a.m. because there are certain things he wants you to do. But you saw another person who you thought in your mind was more spiritual, and you began to copy what he was doing. He says, nobody knows. It's between you and God. He gave you an instruction. It says, so run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. The person has an instruction to go and do something outside. So he didn't come to church on Friday. God gave him an instruction. But God told you to attend service every Friday. But because he didn't come on Friday, he said, he wasn't there on Friday. Now I can stay at home. Understand, it says, run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Every athlete that goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Let me tell you something. Every act of obedience not only receives a reward here, there is something you receive outside this place. Every act of obedience receives an eternal reward. It now says, therefore, this is where I'm going to, I do not run uncertainly without definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. You know, you can be hitting the air and you almost fall down the way you're doing that. So, but like a boxer, what's the battle? What's the battle really? God said, what's the battle? I buffet my body, handle it roughly with discipline and by hardships. I subdue it for the fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself become unfit, not stand the test and be approved and rejected as a counterfeit. The battle is here. You have dealt with hard people. You have dealt with people. See, let me tell you something. When you see someone, and you say, you, this person, when you start thinking, this person is, the problem is you. I'm telling you, the problem is you. Rest, settle it today. And everything, it rests here. A man's enemies are those of his own household. He says, if any man purge, did he say, if any man purge his brother of these things? If any man purge himself of these things, start here. Forget about the log in your brother's eye. Start with the mote in your brother's eye. It starts with you. I'm telling you, it starts with you. He says, this is where the battle is. Don't fight as one beating the air. Say, Mr. X did that. Mr. Y did that. Mr. X said that. And it's causing reaction. The problem is that the reaction is causing because there's a problem inside you. They smote Jesus. They kicked him. They did everything to him, but nothing moved because there was nothing in him. You understand? Things are moving because there are things inside you that need to be corrected. That's what I'm trying to say. So the battle now is inside here. Forget about what he said. Forget about what he did. It is inside here. When it and it causes a reaction, go back to God and say, there's something wrong here. He said, I keep my body under. I don't box. I shut the door. When I finish with them, when they say things that I'm causing, I know that the problem is not with them. It is with me here. I go into my closet and say, Lord, correct this attitude. When I bring out my sword, I say, no, this is not what you did to me. You have not injured me at all. No, it's not what you did to me. It's not the betrayal. That's not the issue. The issue is that there are certain things inside me. There are certain emotions inside me that are worried. Let's go. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to James. We need to get this right. Because once we get this right, you're entering the pathway of explosion. Once you understand this concept, that's when people come and say, that company, they did this. I just laugh. I say, no. The problem is you. You might have done those things, but if there's no defect, there will be no reaction. This is the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. Kick me. Do whatever you like to me. Nothing will move because I am whole. I'm made. You understand? So let's begin to understand that. In fact, the fact that the reactions are coming is good, sir. So you know that the things you have to change. Because if you go to another place, the same reactions will occur. If you go to another place, the same reactions will occur. Resign and go to another company. You say they are treating you badly, the same thing will happen again in another way. It will present itself somehow. You resign from the marriage, you go to another marriage, you will meet it again. It is not the person. There are some defects inside that God wants to correct. See, finding fault with them, the provisions have been made to correct those things in the covenant. The sooner we sit down and say, look, it's not the nation we are in. It's not by moving from Nigeria to UK or UK to Gambia or Gambia to Zimbabwe or Zimbabwe to London. That's not where the issue is. The issue is the inside. It says, finding fault with them, I want to correct that thing on the inside of them so that when they go anywhere, they are made men. They are standing there. They can reproduce in their environment anything that's on the inside of them. It's what's inside. That's what's coming up. So that pointing accusation of the finger, the pointing of finger and accusation, in fact, you are pointing four back. That is me. We are pointing four. Look at it now. Now coming back to you, that, okay, it is me. I need to correct this thing. I need to correct this thing. I need to correct this thing. It's not what they said. I need to correct this thing. James. Chapter 4. I'll just read something here, then I'll go into something else. I want to show you something. You know, what leads to strife and discord, and how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not rise from your sensual desires and everything worrying? So it's you in your bodily members. It's arising from you. You lost, you did not have. You kill, and it's you. No, it's from you. Understand that. When people are fighting a marriage, I'm not saying the person is perfect. What I'm saying is that, look inside. It is your reaction, the reaction you're having, it is because there's something inside there. So go back to God and say, Lord, why am I reacting this way? The business did not come. The anger that came out. Like one guy, he said, he was a fellowship leader. He said, one guy crossed his path on the road he was driving. He said, he came out of his car, and before he knew, he had given the guy a kung fu kick. He said, yeah, is this thing inside me? How did this thing come out? So it wasn't a provocation, it was a kung fu kick was inside him. you understand what I'm saying? So the kung fu kick, those are the things that go, those attitudes, you know, those things on the inside that will make you a vessel honorable, fit, because if he releases power upon you, someone comes in your path, he will just say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to be blind for his sin. People will just be getting blind. So he's careful. He wants to correct. No. It's very serious. So he has to correct those things so that you'll be a dependable hand. Because he releases the glory upon you. I mean, think about it. So just talk to me. I walk and I'll just say, spoke to me like that. Just look at him like this, you know. That's it. Everything is boiling inside you. You know, out of that anger, you now speak. And your words carry power and just causes. So God wants to correct those things. So you become a vessel of honor, an honorable vessel. You know, so that you bring out the sword to cut the ear of the guys. So you bear, you say no. That's what God is taking us to. Because there are so many mighty things he wants to rot. You know, but a vessel of honor has to be fit for the master's use. You understand? So the blood of Jesus Christ has made the provision to enter into those areas. We will see the roles of the blood, the sevenfold redemptive roles of the blood in the new covenant and the old. And I'll round up and I'll show you something, which how to stay under the blood covering. You know, God doesn't leave us hanging. He teaches us how to do these things. So just understand that it starts with you, and begin to have that in your mind. You know, and I said earlier, where the blood is applied, the Spirit of God moves, and where the blood is honored. Let's go to the book of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. See, as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. And you know that the blood has put us in a position where we can experience the rivers of living water. Because that's what creates actually the miracle. The blood has given us access into the presence of God, where we can experience things. And we're talking about remission of sins. What remission means is that there's a cancellation of the penalty. If you go to Hebrews 10, when you get home, read that Hebrews 10, you will gain a lot. Cancellation of the penalty of sin and the removal of guilt. Cancellation of the penalty, that means the consequence of sin and the removal of guilt. So when we come before God and confess that sin before him, the blood has the power, no matter what it is in your past, don't let anything hinder you from entering in. See, the blood will take away everything that in your mind you think has disqualified you. It will wipe it away completely. It will cancel the penalty and remove that, you know, that feeling of inadequacy that comes when you say, I can't really enter. Am I adequate to do this? Am I qualified to do this? That blood will go deep down and remove that guilt and the consequences, and it will be as if you had never committed that act before. That's the power of the blood. And people will say, this guy's not qualified for this. He did that, he did this, he did this. People that know you. But God will say, no, I don't have any record of it. The blood has cleansed it. So, in fact, what I'm saying, everybody here is free if you understand how to appropriate the blood. So nothing in your past will restrict you from entering into that future. Nothing, because of the blood. So when we begin to understand that, it's not by works of righteousness. Righteous works will be a product of that, but then your access is based on the blood. When you get into the presence, the blood will now purify you, and the word will now wash you and make you holy. Let's understand that. It is the blood of Jesus that gives you access. The reason why we're standing here today is because of the blood. When you begin to understand that, you're completely dependent on this blood. And we'll say some things here, which is very, very crucial. Now, so it removes the guilt, it removes the shame, it removes the self-condemnation, it removes everything that stops you from entering boldly. I won't read Hebrews 10. When you get home, please read Hebrews 10. Everything that stops you from entering boldly, he took them out of the way and nailed them to his cross. There's no one area of rebellion in your life that the blood cannot cleanse and sanctify. Not one area. And we'll see what happened in the life of Jesus Christ. How, I will use medical terms to explain this. You will understand it very clearly. Right. Then we'll go into the application. You see, I'll just explain this to you. When you want to cure a disease, I think it would be easier that way. And you have a vaccine. You have an antigen. An antigen is a foreign body or a virus or whatever it is that enters into the body, right? What happens is that when it enters into the body now generates what you call antibodies, right? Which it triggers a reaction. So it generates antibodies which now develop and swallow up that foreign material, whether it's a virus, germ, or whatever it is. It swallows it up and destroys it completely. So, and those antibodies have memory cells. Right, they have memory cells. I'm going somewhere today. And it means that when that thing comes in the body again, okay, we've dealt with this before. We've dealt with this, just going, this is what we use, this is how we attacked it, and we consumed it from the left side. So let's go and attack it and consume it. So they have memory cells. I will show you something very, very crucial today. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's put it up there. Let me show you something. If the blood is practical, so if you can see this and have this understanding, then in applying the blood, you will see that, oh my God, this is. Say, they had no temptation taking you, such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you can bear. But will the temptation make a way of escape? Then go to 1 John chapter 2, I think it's verse 9. When it says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the earth, and the pride of life. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, I think. Let me show you something here. Another one. 1 John, where it says, is it 2:6? Is it 2:6? Where it says, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride. 1 John 2:16. Okay. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So, if you look back to the Garden of Eden, when Eve was tempted by the enemy, and look at the temptations of Jesus, they're similar. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the earth, and the pride of life. You go and study those temptations. It said it was good for food, lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the earth, and three desire to make one wise, the pride of life. He came to Jesus. He said, jump down now so they will see you, pride of life. Look at this, I will give it to you, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Then eat, lust of the flesh. So he's saying that. I like what Apostle said during the Ashpanam. He said he came to the first man with the same temptation. He came to the second one because he doesn't have any other schemes. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't have any other schemes. Also, there's no temptation that's taken that is not common to man. That means he keeps on repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again. Understand where I'm going? So he has no new schemes. Understand this? So, go to the book of. So, we'll establish that. So, you come to the same temptation. Look at it anyway. It's the same, these three things it comes with. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. He was in all points tempted like as we are, so there's no temptation anywhere on the face of the earth that Jesus Christ didn't face, yet without sin. So he deliberately exposed himself and he overcame every single thing a human being can face. So what happened really is that the antigens came at him, whatever it is. He developed the antibody. I want you to show you what the blood does. The antibodies that swallowed up every temptation and overcame evidence, ranging from his battle in Gethsemane when he wasn't willing. So when God is telling you something and you're finding it difficult to obey, he overcame that unwillingness. He overcame all the hesitation to obey God's will. He overcame all the things of pride, all those things. All the temptations that you will face, logically, they came to him. And he overcame all of them without sin. So he has developed the antibodies to every single temptation, and those antibodies are in the blood. So what happens when you appropriate the blood? There's a transference. You have entered a new bloodline. It's a new bloodline. That means it is so powerful. When you begin to understand that there's nothing that can come against me that has not been overcome. And let's go to Revelation. It says there that he has redeemed us. I think Revelation 5:9, I think. He has redeemed us from every tribe, every kindred, every nation by his blood, and he has transferred us into his kingdom. So we have entered into a different bloodline where we have the antibodies to anything that the enemy can throw against us. The thing is, where's the answer? So we are fortified. So you don't have to be afraid anymore. So he says, don't be afraid. Because I have the deal. I have the answer to everything a man can face. Because the antibodies have been developed that swallowed everything, ranging from hesitant in Gethsemane, and all the feelings you have, all that emotional feeling when you are separated, when people have broken your heart, everything, I have the antidote, and it's in the blood. So when you plead the blood of Jesus, I want you to be conscious of the fact of that. The life of God is inside the blood. That's how powerful the blood is. He has covered all ground. That's why when the blood has overcome Satan, so they overcame him by what? By the blood. They overcame him by the, so they repeated it because the memory cells were there. I've done this before. I've overcome this before. So the memory cells were there and they now just activated it to overcome the fresh challenge. Don't understand? It's done already. So Satan knows that. So he's preventing people from having a knowledge of the power of the blood of Jesus. And how is it activated? I'll show you this. Go to the book of Exodus. Let's go there. And you know it's for life. Some vaccines, when they give you some vaccines with the antibodies, they say it's for life long. Some of them are sure, but the blood is life for life. It has covered, see, it has covered everything. No temptation, everything. He was in all points tempted, yet without sin. So it swallowed up everything. The antibodies have been developed, and the memory is there. So all we have to do is to activate it. I'll show you how to activate it. Go to the book of Exodus. Let me show you this quickly. Because this is Exodus chapter 12. It is. So don't be afraid. Say, in nothing be terrified by your adversary. Yes. You first laugh, even if you don't know you don't know the antibody yet. Just like, yeah, it's covered. The memory cells there in the blood. We've got this covered. But let us just go and find out how. We've got, there's nothing to be afraid of. Exodus 12. Now, from verse 21, it says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. You see, I'll quote some scriptures when you go back to read them. I believe strongly that the decadence in society is a product of fathers or parents. It says, take a lamb. It says, I'm giving you responsibility to cover your family. Take a lamb according to your families. They call the elders. Say, you leaders of these households, come. I want to show you how to protect your family and secure the reason why there are problems. Go and trace it. Anybody, they say, it was killing people. It was in the drug. It is the family. That's where it started from. So when we rise up as parents, begin to understand the family structure, and know that the future of the nation, not just of our children, of the nation depends on us. How we train those children, how we cover them, how we bring them up will eventually affect society. That's where it starts from. That's where it starts from. So, it says there, and kill the Passover, and shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. So you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood. So you kill the lamb, you pour the blood in the basin, and you take hyssop, dip it in the blood, and strike the lintel and the side post with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Specific instructions. And the Lord will pass over the land of Egypt and smite the Egyptians, and when I see the blood, not in the basin, but on the lamppost. Understand? We're not in the basin. The blood in the basin will not do any good. But it has to be on the lamppost. You have to put the hyssop inside and paste it on the lamppost. The blood has to be applied. And how is it applied? Jesus Christ in Hebrew says, the high priest of our confession. He said they overcame him by the blood and by the word of the testimony. So they testified of what the blood has done. Like we know, every kingdom principle in the Bible is voice actuated. So they took what the blood has done regarding everything, and they begin to paste placed it on the lamppost by their words. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Go to Hebrews, of our confession. Hebrews says that he's the high priest of us, saying the same thing as he says. So nothing will happen. There's no high priestly function of Jesus Christ if we do not speak. If I say I'm the high priest of your words, and you not speak any words, so what am I high priesting over? So the words give him the authority and activate the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, that's why we say hold fast to your profession. When we say confession, Christianity is a great confession. That's what we are saying. The high priestly ministry of Jesus is tied to our words, either in worship or in declaration. So you won't see a manifestation to an extent if you are not expressing those things in words. So life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's not just joking. The words of God have to be expressed to experience the high priestly ministry of Jesus. Expressing the same thing that he will say about the blood. So they overcame him by the blood and by the words, as they testified about the blood, either in songs of worship or in declaration, they saw the high priest come into action. Let's understand that. So what happens? It's on the hyssop. It's in the bowl. And you take it from the bowl with the hyssop. You take it by words. That's how you do it. You use your words. If not, the bowl is just like Jesus Christ dying, and all the provisions are made are in the bowl. You have to take it out and sprinkle it upon the lamppost at every time you need it with your words. It's not passive. It's active. I'll just give you a few examples. Let's go to the book of... Before we go there, I want to show you something about staying in the covering of the blood. It says, don't come out of the house. Don't come out of the house. Stay there in the covering of the blood. Don't come out of the house. Let's go to the book of Genesis. I want to show you something here. So let's begin to apply the blood deliberately. In fact, my cousin said that his mother used to speak, apply the blood, apply the blood, apply the blood, over the house so much that I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. You have to apply the blood by speaking with an understanding of what the blood has done. Genesis. I want to show you something here. Genesis chapter 4. Verse 8. No, Cain and Abel. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. So we'll make some declarations about the blood. Seven things the blood in redemption has done. We'll stand up together as a body and make those declarations based on the scriptures today. And see, we're doing things in the now. Faith is now. We're not looking, say, it will happen tomorrow. No, faith is now. So we're making those declarations, and as we make those declarations, the walls and the boundaries and the bond, and those things will begin to fall off right now in this place. Father, we give you thanks. So it says, and Cain talked to his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, why hast thou done, what hast thou done? The blood has a voice. His own voice. No. So the voice of your brother's blood cries out from the ground. The voice of your brother's blood cries out unto me from the, because the ground was, the ground took and swallowed up Abel's blood. He said, now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive. Understand what I'm saying here. The way you receive the benefits of the blood is that you open your mouth to receive. He said, the blood that has opened the mouth to receive the brother's blood, and it is, the blood is crying out from the air, because it has opened the mouth to receive the brother's Abel's blood. And now says, from henceforth, he says, you are cursed from the earth. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield a strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be upon the earth. You know what God should be? He says, when you begin to acknowledge the blood, when you open humanity, the blood has done it for man. So those who cry out, open their mouth to receive the finished work, the blood of Jesus, by their confession, Satan's activity in their life is stopped. That's what he said. He said, the ground will not yield the strength to Cain. So the activities of your life, Satan has no access into your life anymore. He begins to wander around you, but he cannot touch you. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right, he will not come near you. That's what happens here. He said, Cain, he said, your life will not be fruitful to the enemy. That's what he says there. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you have opened your mouth to receive the blood of Jesus. By declaring things, Satan's activity is cut off from your life. It's innocent blood. Let's understand that. So, he's cut off from your life completely if you stay within the confines of the blood. How do you stay within the confines of the blood? So he keepeth himself in the love of God, and the evil one toucheth him. And that is what he was saying. He keeps himself in the confines of the blood, and the evil one cannot touch him. Walking in that love. Staying in love. That's how you keep yourself in the blood. That's what Jesus says. The prince of this world cometh. He cannot touch me. There's nothing in me. I'm in love. His activity in your life is fruitless. Your life will not yield strength to Satan and his activities. He's cursed from your life. When you open your mouth to receive, that's it, by declaring it. I'm going to make some declarations about the blood. Sevenfold things the blood has done, the benefit in redemption. Just put the scriptures up, you can sit down. I'll make the declaration. There's many more, but these are the core ones. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Redemption. It says, in whom we have redemption, we have been bought by the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It says in 1 Peter 18:19, you've been redeemed or bought by the blood of the Lamb. So we make that declaration. In the name of Jesus, I have been redeemed and bought by the blood of the Lamb. I belong to Jesus, for his blood has purchased me from the authority of Satan. I am now planted in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I decree I have been taken out of the pit where there is no water. I am now put in the place where I experience rivers of living water. For I am redeemed, and I say so in the name of Jesus. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. To say it, to activate the blood. Father, we give you thanks. Cleansing. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. Cleansing. Believe God as we declare these things. We're not just declaring words. We're receiving the benefits of those things right now in this place as a body. Cleansing. Cleansing. 1 John 1 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, 1:9, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 51:7. What does that say? Psalm 51:7. Psalm 51:7. So it's cleansing. There's cleansing. There's redemption. We're talking about redemption. There's cleansing. Say, purge me with hyssop. See hyssop there? Like, took hyssop from the bowl. You know, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He said, though your skin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. It's the blood that causes cleansing. So the blood will cleanse you of all contamination. It will cleanse you completely of everything. And the stain of sin, everything, it will cleanse. It has the power to go in and cleanse. So the blood will cleanse you. And you stand before God without any sense of inferiority. That sense, I feel as if I'm not worthy. That sense, I feel I'm that sense of cleanness will come upon you. By the blood. It's the blood that cleanses. So let's make the declaration. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, because I walk in the light as he is in the light, and I have fellowship with my brethren. Therefore, right now, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from every sin. As I've confessed all my sins before God, he is faithful and he is just, and he has forgiven me all my sins and cleansed me from every unrighteousness. Therefore, I stand whole in him in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Justification. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Justification. Father, we give you thanks. Justification. Justification. Romans 5, 9. Thank you, Jesus. Much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So the blood has justified us completely. The blood has justified us completely. It is just as if I did not do anything. Just as if I did not do any wrong. And that is the power of the blood. In the court of heaven, it's just as if this guy hasn't done anything wrong. That's what the blood does. Understand that? So we're going to make a declaration now about that. Before we do that, let me just get this up. Isaiah 61:10 as well. So justification, you have been justified and declared righteous. It says he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, and that's by the blood of Jesus. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me not just salvation, but he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, which is by the blood of Jesus. So righteousness has been imputed to you and has also been impacted to you to live right. So the blood of Jesus has not just salvation, he has covered you with a robe of righteousness. So you stand before the presence of the Father without any sense of inferiority because the blood has covered you with a robe. So when he sees you, he sees the blood. You understand that? He sees the blood. It's a robe over you. So you can enter in boldly because you have now been justified. The enemy comes and whispers, he says, no, it's the blood. It's under the blood. I've confessed it, and he has forgiven me, and he has cleansed me from all righteousness. The blood of Jesus has covered me like a robe. It's just as if justification, just as if I never did it. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the blood. Let's understand this. In the name of God, I have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Therefore, sin has no more dominion over me. I have been washed by the blood. When the Father sees me, he looks at me as though sin has never touched me. I have victory over sin. I have victory over sin because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have his righteousness. Therefore, I live, I reign as a king in my domain in this life. Father, we give you thanks. The next one, sanctification. Hebrews 10:12. Sanctification. The blood has sanctified us. When people say sanctification is old gospel, it's the real gospel. Sanctification means he has delivered you, he has set you apart from contamination and sin and the evil things, and has separated you unto God. The same thing as holiness, from the same root word. So you have been set apart from the world, and you have been separated unto God, and it's the blood that does that. You have set apart the world, and you have been separated unto God. As we declare these words, trust the Holy Spirit. I say, when the blood is magnified, the Spirit of God goes in there and causes something to happen. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Hebrews 12:10. Hebrews 12:10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. So that's provided in the blood as well. So I'm going to make a declaration regarding that. It says he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Oh my God. The blood has done it. He has gone deep down. So holiness is part of the effect of the blood. Separated unto him. Separated from this world unto him. separated unto him. So begin to see yourself differently, actually. That I'm separated unto God. I work in this company, but I'm on assignment. I'm separated unto God. I'm sanctified. I see myself, I'm carrying a robe of righteousness. I'm walking, but I am separated. I begin to carry myself like that. I'm not going to contaminate myself with anything here because I'm on assignment. I am separated unto him. You begin to carry yourself with such dignity. You know, things, mundane things begin to look, I can't involve myself in this. I'm separated unto God. Sin will not even come near. I'm separated unto God. I can't involve myself in all this backbiting and argument in the office. I'm separated unto God. I'm much more than that. I'm separated unto God. The servant of God must not strive. I am separated unto God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you thanks because your blood has sanctified me and has separated me unto you. I am now a partaker of your holiness in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Life, life, life. Leviticus 17:11. The life of the, let's go to the scripture. Life. Life. Father, we give you thanks. Leviticus 17:11. So the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That's powerful. So the life of God, that's the DNA I was talking about. All the antibodies are inside that blood, so nothing that comes against you can stand if you appropriate the blood on the lamppost of your life. We're going to make a declaration. In the name of Jesus, the life is in the blood. Therefore, because of the blood of Jesus, atonement has been made for my soul. Therefore, I say, I overcome the enemy in any form, in my life, in my purpose, in my career, in my business, in my family, in my relationship, in everything that concerns me and bears my name, by the blood of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus, by the life of God, I open my mouth wide and I swallow up death in victory. I plead the blood of Jesus over my entire household and over my entire life in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Jesus says, except you eat of the flesh and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. By declaring those words, you are drinking of the blood. So you take the communion. You're taking it with a deliberate standing. Intercession. Hebrews 12:22. It said the blood speaks by his own voice. The blood was deposited in heaven on the mercy seat. The blood has an effect on the soul. And the blood has an effect against the enemy. So it's no covered. So when you're feeling tired and weak, the blood is speaking mercy. When you're feeling distress, the blood is speaking on your behalf. The blood speaks. The blood speaks. In the name of Jesus, I decree that by the blood of Jesus, I have mercy. In the name of Jesus, for he has been merciful to my transgressions. Anywhere I've missed the mark, the blood of Jesus today cries mercy on my behalf. Where I've missed the mark consciously or unconsciously, by the blood of Jesus, I have obtained mercy and I have found grace to help me overcome even that challenge in the name of Jesus. I decree in Jesus' name, the mercy of God triumphs over judgment in my life because of the blood of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. It's the blood. It's the blood. Father, we give you thanks. Access. Hebrews 10:19. Access. We have access. We have access. It says the blood has given us access by a new and living way, which has consecrated through the veil, that is his flesh. Before, many have access. Now, there's an open, the veil has been rent in twain. The blood has been deposited on the mercy seat. You can come in boldly without any sense of inferiority. can come in boldly. You don't need any go-between apart from the mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. You can stand in your bedroom and make a prayer unto God and he will answer you by faith. You don't need any go-between. The God, Lord has given every man access into the holiest of all. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that has given me access into your presence. I come boldly to the throne of grace because my heart is sprinkled from an evil consciousness. Therefore, I stand boldly before you, Father, without any sense of guilt, without any sense of restriction, without sense of restriction. I come boldly before your throne, and I thank you by the blood of Jesus. I have a blood-borne right to have answers to all of my prayers in the name of Jesus. That word boldness means freedom of speech. Freedom of speech in his presence. In his presence. So we're going to worship God for the blood. We're going to worship God for the blood. We're going to worship for the blood. We're going to worship God for the blood. Father, we give you thanks.